Well, good morning.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. We come together today for one reason, to focus on you, to worship you in doing so, and to hear what you have for us to hear. I'm asking, dear Holy Spirit, that you will accomplish the work that you want to accomplish this morning through your word, that you'll bless and refresh each and everybody's heart. I pray that we know that we are meeting with you and that you're meeting with us. And I pray that you'll be well pleased with everything, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I was talking to some officers at the state mental hospital, even for the state prison, and primarily more for the state prison. I believe it was Marlon Miller that had told me that 92% or 98% of those that are released from prison come back into the prison system, that they go out with their money and then they end up coming back. And not that I'm equating them to any type of a correlation with animals, because I'm not, and hear me out on this, but if you raise an animal, let's say you have a pet dog and you have a cage for that pet, and you raise them as a puppy in that cage, and they're used to going into that cage and sitting in that cage and sleeping in that cage, and if the door is wide open, it doesn't matter. They'll go back into that cage a lot of times and sit there. So in some ways, that's where those points are leading up to the message, is that God has given us freedom. The freedom is a freedom from the power of sin through Christ, and that's the door that's open. And so we have the freedom to step out of the cage, if you will, the things that constrain us from being what God wants us to be, to being the people that God has called us to be. And so with that, we can think about freedom on a spiritual level, can't we? And so we're going to start a series of messages entitled Freedom. But today's message is entitled Freedom and Liberty. Freedom and Liberty. If I was to ask you to define freedom and liberty, this is a rhetorical question, you might say, well, what is the difference between freedom and liberty? Because there is a difference, and they both are significant in meaning that will help us in our walk with Christ. But before we look at those definitions, I want us to look at the platform, the springboard that I want to start off with in Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast, therefore, on the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. We're to stand in the liberty which Christ has made us free. In other words, we are to choose to walk in Christ in the newness of life in Him. That's a choice. So when you think about going back to prison cell or a dog cage or whatever, it's very symbolic of our spiritual walk, where we step back into the cage and want to be in that area of the flesh, as opposed to stepping out of the cage and being in the area of a new walk, a new life, and being in step with the Spirit of God. There's a direct contrast between the flesh that constricts us and the freedom that we have in Christ, and the choices that we can have through Him. And so that's something that we need to consider as we follow Christ, that we stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't go back to it. You might be thinking, again, what is the definition of freedom versus liberty? Well, liberty deals with privileges that come with independence, whereas freedom refers to rights of belongings. Freedom is described as absence of any outside pressure. Now, that's kind of a wordy paragraph there, and I want to look at it. Liberty is the freedom that we have, which is a choice. It's a choice. Liberty is the choice that we have, which is the privilege. We have the privilege to make choices for God, okay? In our country, we have the privilege to make choices of what our life is going to be like, what our careers are going to be like, and what our aspirations are, and the home of the of opportunity, if you will, that our country has been known for. There's that freedom to have the liberty to choose what we want to do. That's a privilege that we have, because other countries don't have that freedom to be able to choose to do what they want to do. In fact, a lot of countries are doing good to have food, right? in a lot of third world countries, as you and I know. So liberty deals with the privileges that come with independence. So it's our independent ability to choose. We have that right or that privilege to do that. Okay? Whereas freedom refers to rights of belongings. Because I'm free, I have the right to be able to choose what I want to do. So we can apply that as Americans, but we can also apply that as Christians. Because I'm free in Christ, you and I have the freedom to choose to do what God wants us to do or not to do. We have the freedom to choose to live that new life in Christ or not. We have that freedom to choose to pursue Him and discover what it means to live not constrained by the power of sin, but empowered by the life of Christ to be what God wants us to be. And so freedom is described by absence of any outside pressure. We're not held back. We can still say the name of Jesus today. We can still publicly. We can still carry our Bibles publicly. We can still go to church and worship publicly. We can still have these religious rites, even though that there are some constraints that seem to come and pressure us a little bit more in our Christian stance for Christ. And so, simply put, we have the freedom to choose. Now, that definition, liberty deals with privileges that come with independence, whereas freedom refers to rights and belongings. Freedom is described by absence of any outside pressure. Because of our freedom, we have a right to choose. And so that's something that we can praise God for, because we are Americans and have those privileges and those, and that right in our freedom. And I love it when I hear reference to the freedom and the liberty that men and women have fought for our country over the centuries, to be the country that we have the privilege to be because of that. And I praise God for that. And so we're looking at freedom and liberty as that blessing that you and I have, not only in our country, but in our walk with Christ. And that's why we celebrate the 4th of July. We have that freedom and that liberty. I don't want to live my life, I don't want to see my grandchildren grow up without freedom or liberty in this country. A freedom to be who, if you will, whom God wants them to be. A freedom for them to choose. I don't want to be a country that no longer has that freedom to move and to choose and to develop as God created us to be, or to be the people that God wants us to be. So, 4th of July, we remember the time that our country gained freedom, right? Freedom from the crown, freedom from oppression, freedom of religion, freedom of all people being able to come together from anywhere to have a new opportunity. And so we celebrate that, we remember that. Our nation was based upon that freedom that we have. And that freedom enabled our forefathers to build a constitution. And what I love about that, and this may sound dry and, you know, governmental issues, but our forefathers had the privilege of being able to construct a constitution that was based on biblical principle. That our system of government is based upon biblical principle. That these men that came together in our early country, they looked at the word, they studied the word, they prayed together. And many of the men were individually very committed and strong Christians in faith and practice. And as a group, they collectively came together and they sought God. I mean, what a freedom is that? A new country and leadership, our forefathers saying, we're going to go to God first in prayer and we're going to seek Him on how do you want us to form the government structure of our country? How do you want us to lay the foundation for this great land that you are giving us that's developing? What do you want, God? And so to think that we have the blessing of men that were faithful to God, that looked to God first to say, God, direct us, is quite a blessing and quite an honor and brings great glory to God, don't you think? Because to look to God for direction is not a natural thing to do. And these were men that were committed to God, the majority of them, and they sought to do what God wanted them to do, not what they thought that they ought to do. And so we gained our freedom as a nation We had the liberty to choose and to build our Constitution from a biblical principle. And in doing so, we were honoring God, and God would bless us. And He has blessed us. Greatest nation in the world, most powerful nation in the world, most free nation in the world. We've got so many blessings even today, in spite of all that goes on around us in our country. And so we are thankful for the Christian men that sought God's directive for how to establish and to begin our nation as it is. And we celebrate that. We should be celebrating that. We should be thinking, man, we have a freedom, and we should never take it for granted, because if anything, the enemy would rather that our country did not have that freedom. That we can't have the freedom, even from a perspective of being Christians, to be able to stand and profess our faith or share the gospel or preach the word or teach the word or live out our faith in a way that other people would see Christ in us. We still have that freedom. Other countries don't. And so as individual men or a group of men, they sought God and how God wanted to shape America. That's something to be proud of. That's something to be very proud of, that our country was based upon that. The forefathers of our country sought God's leading, right? And God blessed America, and I'm going to use this phrase, in fact, God made America great. Okay? Because deny that. Deny that God has not made America great. He truly has. As it stands today, it is a great, great, great nation. And so we stand underneath God, and God, like the t-shirt here says, you know, one nation under God. I pray we will always be a nation that seeks that, that we would not be a post-Christian nation anymore, but that we would be a nation that turns back to God, to be a Christian nation as God would intend for us to do. That freedom and liberty that we have in America that was obtained continues to be pursued. In other words, have you ever heard any military men or women or anybody in our country, essentially, overall, let's just take an overall view of our country, that is not proud of the fact that we're free and have liberty and wants to pursue that and preserve that? That's the essence of who we are in our country under God, under God. And so we want to protect that. But that pursuit of freedom and liberty that we have as a country, interestingly, as the men and the men that formed the foundation of our country sought God for direction for that, God gave them not only what they needed to help establish the foundation for our country, but He reflected what God wanted for you and I as believers. He, through the structure of our country, freedom and liberty is a reflection of what God wants for us in our walk with Him. As our country pursues to preserve that wonderful privilege of freedom and liberty, God wants us to pursue and to preserve the freedom and liberty that we have in Christ as we live for Him. We are a reflection. We are to be a reflection of that. We are to be a reflection of God's desire in that freedom and liberty. We are His children. We're believers in Christ. We're a holy nation of God's people, as 1 Peter 2:9 tells us. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think that we are a holy nation of God's people. We are a holy nation of God's people. That's you and I as believers. What a tremendous privilege that is. The freedom of our forefathers gave them the liberty to choose to follow after God and His Spirit for this purpose, not just to bring honor and glory to God, not to circumvent that, but to serve others. That our country, that men and women and families and children of all backgrounds could come and have that freedom and liberty in our country. Is that not a reflection of what God wants for all people? That all people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, Scripture says in Revelation, every tribe and tongue will worship God. How wonderful is that? And He wants all of us to experience that liberty to choose to follow Him, and that freedom that we have to do so through faith in Christ. In Galatians 5, 13 and 14, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We've been called to liberty. We've been called in our freedom in Christ to choose what is right and pleasing to God. That's the liberty there. And not to misuse that to our own advantage or to our own purposes. Not to misuse our position as believers in Christ to meet our own needs, our own flesh, to do what we want, not what God wants. But we're called to serve one another. And you say, well, that sounds noble, because noble is anything that's good and honorable, right? Serving one another. But how is it possible that we are to serve one another? What's the significance of serving one another? To serve one another is against our human nature. Our human nature is to serve ourselves. God's nature is to serve others. Therefore, we have to seek God with the right heart to be able to put ourselves aside to serve others. And when we are doing that, we're honoring God, loving Him first, pursuing Him, and are enabled to serve one another, in particular, the household of God. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we love the people in our community, we love people that even, you know, how many testimonies have you heard of people that have had loved ones that were murdered where the families had said, and it was on the news, that they forgive them and they were praying for them? You know, what grace, what ability. It can only be done through Christ. To be able even to serve them or to minister to them in lieu of who they are and what they've done is only possible, I believe, through Christ and in and through our lives. So God has called us to freedom and liberty to serve others and not to serve ourselves. You know, if we look at our country, if you look at the division, if you look at the strife, you look at the different things that are going on politically, it stems from self. Everybody has their position of what they want to do, what they want to accomplish. There's a self-servient position. But if we truly were that one nation under God, as God intends us to be, we'd be seeking Him and what He deems is right and pleasing to Him. And again, that reflection comes upon us, that we are to seek Him first and what He deems that is right and good and holy, and that we're not serving ourselves, but we're serving others. Another way of saying that is that we look to the benefit of others before ourselves. And that's not easy to do because it requires us to walk in the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5, 15 through 16, it says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We have to be careful because in this verse, Scripture is telling us not to bite one another. It happens. But biting can remove hope. It can destroy. It can turn into what Paul is really looking at here is that we can turn into like wild beasts that are attacking each other. And he says to be careful lest we consume ourselves because of our own flesh, because of our own desire, our own objectives. We have the freedom to choose. We can choose to relate to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ through the flesh, which is selfish, or we can relate to each other through the Spirit, which is God's way. It's a choice. That's our liberty in Christ. We have the freedom, being that because of Christ in us, we have the ability to do what God would have us to do, to walk in the Spirit and to relate to one another in the Spirit of Christ, or we have the liberty to choose not to do that and to live in our own flesh. So, again, we're to choose how we relate to each other and even our neighbors, through the flesh or through the Spirit, through our sinful nature or through a holy nature in Christ. Our relationships and words and actions with others are an indication of how well we're walking in the Spirit. I'm trying to correlate this back to the to our country and freedom and liberty. If our country is not following God, then the result is going to be chaos and ugliness and darkness and sin. And we can't expect God's blessings on our country if we're not seeking Him. In fact, the curious thing is, and the impacting thing is that you and I are the hope in which God works through to be that light in our country. Does that make sense at all? We're Christians. We're the body of Christ. We're called to be light. We're called to walk in the Spirit. We're called to be opposite to the darkness. We're the instrument, we're the body of Christ that God is working through to impact and to change and to make lives better by bringing them to know Christ as their Savior, which in large affects our country. And so we have a great privilege to be what God wants us to be. And so as we relate to people, whether in our church family or whether in our own neighborhoods, we have the choice, that liberty, to either to relate through the flesh or through the Spirit, through our sinful nature or through God's nature, which is holy and absolutely full of love. I have to share with you that when seeking to relate to each other through the flesh, my mind, and I don't know about your mind, intellectually I'm looking flesh and spirit. It's clear to me. I know when I'm acting in a way that's not right, and I know when I'm acting in a way that's pleasing to God. Therefore, we've got the spirit that we're following, or we've got ourselves that we're following, and that seems to be clear and crisp. The problem that I've found in my own life is that serving myself is not always obvious. It's the sneaky way that Satan works to come up behind us craftily. And in my heart, that there may be motives that are selfish and self-seeking out of my own personal thought of need that I'm not realizing I'm operating in my flesh. I'm not operating in the Spirit. And I have that choice to acknowledge that or not. But here's the thing. When we make the decision to serve others, as the Scriptures have told us this, the focus comes off of us. If I'm looking to serve you, my focus is no longer on me, but on you. That means I'm asking God to open my eyes to see how or what your need is and if I can meet that need. And it's not about me stepping up to gain my need from a selfish point of view or even from a conscious point of view, but to keep focused on serving you. We're called to serve each other. We're called to serve our neighbor. And so the paradigm shift is from ourselves to others, to each other and to others. And here's the joy. You see, because that's the freedom. The freedom we have is that we're in Christ. We're no longer bound by the power of sin. We're free from that. The Jews were, in the Old Testament, was given to prove that God's holy standard could not be met. It was to prove that all we're going to do is fail in trying to keep God's holy standard in our life. It was to prove that we're sinners. But Jesus came to say, look, even that is true, but I have given you freedom. You don't have to sit in that cage. We don't have to stand back in our own flesh and our own selfishness. We have the door wide open through Christ to step out and to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God, helping us to have a heart that is seeking out to serve each other and others in our own communities. And when we do that, here's the shift. Joy starts to build. Why? Because God blesses when we're more interested in ministering to others than we are to meeting our own need. But like the forefathers, they had to make a decision, or they chose in their liberty to make a decision to seek the Father and how to lay the foundation for our country. That's a spiritual battle. That's a warfare. That's a continuous effort. But when we're walking in the Spirit, right with the Spirit, then our heart's going to be for each other and for our neighbor, and we're going to realize that ourself is not the important factor. And boy, have I fallen in that. Boy, has God shown me how selfish and self-centered I am, and how that hinders me serving you or my neighbors or my family, and how Satan uses it to drag down. And so as he uses me, as I live in my selfishness or in my self-centeredness or in my own needs or in my desire, all these things that focus on me, whether I see it black and white in front of me or whether somehow in the back of my mind I justify what needs to be done to be able to accomplish something that glorifies God and still satisfies me, that's abusing my liberty in Christ. And so we're called to serve one another because we serve God first and we seek him out first. We know the freedom we have in him. We know that we're not bound by the power of sin. We have the freedom from the power of sin through faith in Christ. And we can choose to do what God wants us to do. But when we choose to love our neighbors, to serve one another, to serve our neighbors, then there's a joy because what happens is we start seeing, I know their need. God, the Holy Spirit might say, just pray for their need. Or the Holy Spirit might be saying, this is something you can do to minister to them, that they would really appreciate it. Might be, Terry, keep your mouth shut. They might really appreciate it. Or whatever the case. You see, understand what I'm saying? When we're sensitive to the Spirit, then we can find that joy because we're focused on doing what the Spirit of God is leading us to do, and it's affecting others in a way that brings glory to God. And we're experiencing the freedom in Christ over ourselves and our selfishness to be selfless and look to others to minister to them, and it brings glory to God. So our relationship in words and actions with others are an indication of how well we're walking in the Spirit. We want to evaluate ourselves and how close we are with God in our walk. Our relationships will reflect that. So, you and I know Kathy and I. I didn't just lay it on her. But my wife Kathy and I are very vocal, upfront, straightforward people. Too much so in public. And you know that. But also, she and I know that when we stand our ground and want our way and demand our way, we're thinking about only one person, ourselves, and trying to get the other person to do what we want. We're abusing that liberty. We're choosing to do what God says not to, to serve self, when we should be choosing to serve the other person. And we can only do that through Christ. That's the only way that we can do it. It is definitely a battle. A constant battle. And the warfare is great. Did our country have a tremendous battle to give us our freedom and liberty? All the blood that was shed for America? All the white tombstones and national cemeteries around our country? All the unknown soldiers that died and are still, what about the thousands that were being agreed to be sent back from North Korea to us? These are people that have died for our freedom, for our liberty to choose. But it's not just about our country. God died for our freedom in him and the right to choose what is pleasing to him. God will bless that. He'll put a joy in our country for honoring him. And it starts with you and I, or continues with you and I as believers. But it's a warfare. And it also remains with you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a choice. And we are to pursue Christ with an earnest, generous heart that's willing to engage in the battle of spiritual warfare with our own flesh. And so we're to keep that in mind as we go through each day that we live. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:17 and 18, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." You and I know that we constantly wrestle against our own selfish flesh and that of the Spirit of God. Some days it's a battle where you feel like you're surprised you're still living to engage in the battle. Other days you feel like you're victorious and you're riding on top in victory. Nonetheless, the battle never ends. It is continuous. And we find ourselves not doing the things that we know that we ought to do, or that we even desire to do sometimes. We just mess up. And so, for the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The law of God has set us free from the law and power of sin in our lives. And we have that choice, that liberty, to embrace that freedom in Christ over the power of sin. When we receive Christ as Savior, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? That's when we receive freedom. The sinful nature no longer has power over us anymore. When we receive Christ, we receive freedom from the power of sin over our lives. But then we have the choice or the liberty to choose whether how much we allow sin to dominate or not to dominate our lives. When we receive Christ as Savior, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the ability to live in freedom and liberty without sin. The devil wants to whisper and say, "Who are you kidding? You think you can live without sin?" And God says, "I've told you to do so, and you can because of me." And we need to embrace that. So if you're here today, or you know, maybe someone that hears this message does not know Christ as their Savior, know that by receiving Christ, you gain eternal life through faith in Christ, but you also gain the freedom of power over sin and the freedom to choose to live the way God would have you to live. And there's no greater joy than learning how to put ourselves aside and to be in line with God and to see what God will do. The joy will come. The battle is that we don't allow ourselves to look inward and as far as our own selfish needs and goals and objectives, but that we look outward to the needs of each other and be there for them. So, I had this last quote, I got a little distracted there. So you can live that new life in freedom and liberty. It's our choice. It's our choice. And it's the greatest way to live that we can possibly live. Let's go to the Lord. Father, you're our Father. As believers in Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, you are our Heavenly Father. And we know the doctrine, we know the truth of your word, that you are in us and we are in you, but we're also part of each other. And I ask, Father, please, that you help us to be thankful even more than what we normally are for the freedom that we have in our country still today, and the liberty to be able to choose how we want to live or what goals that we want to pursue. But even more so, the liberty and the freedom to be able to choose you, to worship you, to proclaim your name, to walk as light in a world of darkness, to be your people. We have that freedom in our country to proclaim our faith and to share our faith. And we thank you, Father, for that. But Father, just as we have that faith, or that freedom rather, and that liberty in our country, may we even more so give you glory and honor and praise for the freedom that you've given us over the power of sin that only wants to destroy, and the liberty that you've given us to be able to choose to do what we can only do through you. And in that, you're glorified as we do those things. So, Father, bless as we live for you each and every day. May we praise you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.